Good morning, One Turner Church family. If you are here for the first time, welcome. If you have joined us previously, welcome back. Now, we are halfway through our online worship service. Don't forget our church building is open. There's quite a handful of people at church right now. But in just a couple of weeks, we'll begin transitioning back to church, starting, of course, with the preacher. I do want to take a moment just to say hi to everyone who is at church right now. Good morning, happy Sabbath, but also those of you who have joined us on Facebook as well as YouTube. I see that there is a bit of a delay between the two. I think it's a 15-second delay. I want to say hi on YouTube to my beautiful wife. Yes, she's talking about having pockets in the wedding dress being pretty amazing. Simone referred to that in the welcome when she talked about this week celebrating love. Donnie, yes, we want to be at the beach with Simone as well. It's a nice day today. Happy Sabbath, Ian and Marg. Elizabeth, happy Sabbath to you as well. Monica, good to see you too. Yes, the singing is lovely. And on Facebook, Christine, happy Sabbath to you. Ellen and Eva, you are our One Turner extended church family that live in Tasmania. It is good to have you join us. Kuya, Josh, good to see you as well. And Gosha, good morning. There's a few others watching, tuning in. I just want to say happy Sabbath. Now, if you are tuning in and you're like, why are these guys saying happy Sabbath? The answer is actually very simple. Today is the Sabbath. And in spite of everything that's going on, we're just happy that God has given us this opportunity to worship together, albeit online right now. If you can't already tell, my cough is actually getting slightly better. What I do have, though, is... that was the mute button. I'm opting to do this live from my couch. I'm going to see how I go today. I thought it would be a good trial run. You know, I don't have to edit anything out. We'll be back in church in a couple of weeks. So my mute button is here. I just have to remember to actually turn it back on. So I've got the group chat here. And if I, for whatever reason, lose sound, I'm assuming everyone's just going to start going, there's no sound. I will not mute myself unless I have to cough extensively like just then. All right. Today's message is going to be a little bit different. We've done this before in the past, but I'd like some interaction from you guys as I preach today. I noticed that in our group chats on YouTube as well as on Facebook, generally when it comes to the sermon time, people just pay attention and that's much appreciated. But I wanted to have a bit of an interaction. So you're going to need your tablets, you're going to need your phones, not the one that you're watching. And you'll see why as we proceed to our sermon for today in just a couple of minutes. I figure when we go back to church in a couple of weeks and I'm preaching, and we've done this, you know, 2 weeks ago, I don't want you to go, oh, we're back at home, I'm just going to watch Yoshi. I mean, if I don't like him, you can't mute me because we're going to be at church. And so today, if I ask questions, I'm hoping that you will be able to reciprocate, okay? So consider today a practice. You know, I'm sure that Dan and Wendy, when they preach in church, they'll be doing it the next couple of weeks from home. But we will want to connect with you as well. So I'll give you a chance to take your tablets, grab your phones, and I would love your help with a small segment of the sermon today. You will see what I mean. Two small segments, actually. Just before I pray and then I preach, I want to mention two things. Oh man, Ben's baptism on Thursday morning. It's no secret, I'm not a morning person. But I tell you what, that it was something else. It was. I rolled my ankle the day before, and so getting into the lake was slightly tricky. But I can say that that baptism was beautiful, and you will hear Ben's testimony as you heard Caroline share during the Living His Love segment. That Ben will share his testimony probably sometime in March. We'll work that out. I also want to mention the other thing. The last thing I want to mention is that our pastoral team, we met on Monday again. This is our second as a team. And we were actually, I feel a real sense of buzz. You see, for the last couple of years, there's been a high level of uncertainty with lockdowns and all that. And some of you are still feeling that. But I have a general feeling, recognizing that people are going, we're actually beginning to live with COVID. Yes, there are more people testing positive, but there is significantly less people who are getting sick compared to last year and definitely the year before. I mean, we used to worry about cases in the hundreds, and now 3,000 is a good day. And I know that's because of vaccines, hospitals are better with knowing how to treat people, and a large proportion of people are at least mindful in how they could possibly reduce the spread of germs, more hand washing, more sanitizing, and it's like I have to sanitize everything now. But yeah, anyway, I'm personally encouraged. I just want to start off with that the very likelihood of us going back to a pretty close version of pre-COVID normal might actually be a lot sooner than we think. In fact, Dan's ordination on February 19th might be somewhat of a precursor or indicator of how many of us are comfortable coming back to church after last month we have a relatively high number of one-turner test positive through January. I think it's like 30 or 40, I don't know. Most of whom have recovered. But anyway, Dan's ordination, February 13th at 3 p.m. It will be live streamed. All right. Let's get into our message for today. I will pray, and then we will begin. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, amidst everything that's happening. Lord, we thank you for technology that we can come before you in worship. And Lord, as we open your word today, my prayer remains the same, regardless of the medium, regardless of how we worship you, my prayer remains the same, that you would open not just our hearts, but you would open not just our minds, but that you would open our hearts as well. And Lord, may you hide the messenger behind the message and behind the cross of Calvary, that any and all glory goes back to you and to you alone. We leave this time into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, confession time. I lied in my sermon last week. Well, not really lied in the sense that I intentionally told an untruth or misled you purposely. I said that our resilience series is more of a theme and not as organized as, say, our Daniel and Revelation series towards the end of last year, or even the other series we did through the last few years. Well, it turns out that we do have a plan now. We met on Monday, Dan and Wendy and I shared with them what I wanted to preach today as a direct follow-up of last week's sermon. And behold, as we were talking, we thought, why not? Why don't we make the entire series kind of based around the content of today's sermon? It fits in perfectly with our theme of resilience. And there's so much to expand on, so many things that we can take from the Bible, biblical principles that will help us build resilience. So much so that I was going to preach 7 things today. And it became clear that it was going to be easier to do just one and then spend a bit of time breaking the rest of the 6 down over the rest of the series. Today's topic is, well, rest. In fact, let me give you the full picture of what the entire series will look like. Our sermon today was going to be based on an acronym, which I've actually shared at One Turn before. The acronym is CREATION. So I was going to say, hey, let's just go through all 8 today. Instead of New Start, which some of you are familiar with, our acronym is CREATION. And as I shared with Dan and Wendy, I thought, you know, we'll just go through each point just really quickly, and now you can see why that's a lot. In fact, what we'll do right now is I'm going to give you what each of them stand for. Let's start with C. C stands for choice. So last week was about choice. To build resilience, we have to choose to focus on God. We have to choose to focus not just on God, but on the right people that we surround ourselves with. We have to make the right choices. That is where it all starts. And you can expand that choice to a number of things. Today, as I've already mentioned, you've already heard, R stands for rest. Okay, we'll come back to that, but let me click through the rest just really quickly. E stands for environment, A stands for activity, T stands for trust in God, I stands for interpersonal relationships, O stands for outlook, and N stands for nutrition. Okay, so Dan and Wendy and I, we will take you through each of these topics over the next few weeks. We believe that each of these contribute towards a healthier lifestyle, which then, of course, helps us build biblical principles to build resilience that is so vital in the times that we live today. And so today, our topic is rest. Okay. Those of you who have just joined us, Simone, happy Sabbath. The mute button for the cough is a good idea. Yoshi, that is a very good idea indeed. Jenny and Doug, Sanctuary Lakes, welcome. Welcome. It's good to have you join us. Well, I want to hear from you guys, right? I want to hear from you guys with this question. I'm going to put it up on my screen right now. When you hear the word rest, what comes to your mind? When you hear the word rest, what comes to your mind? I would love to hear from you both on Facebook as well as on our YouTube chat. Is it like a 10-minute nap, you know? Is that rest? I was told. Kids not crying. Is that rest? Some of you who are parents with toddlers. Oh, by the way, I was told that if your kids aren't making any noise, they're probably not resting. They're probably up to something. And that's when you need to check up on them, right? I don't know. What's rest? Is rest just this idea of disconnecting, like what Nadia talked about last week, disconnecting from social media? Christine says, calm. Yep, that's a really, really, really good word to describe rest. Carl says sleep. Oh, don't you know it, my friend? Carl says sleep. I can definitely relate. You know, at the end of the day, we will talk about sleep in just a moment, but there's such a thing as too much sleep, isn't there, Carl? Are you going to disagree with me? Gosha says feet up on the couch. Yup, feet up on the couch is a great way to describe rest. Brianna says bed. Yep, bed for sure. Elizabeth says time to recharge. And Nadia says feeling settled and at peace. So we have all these different perspectives on rest. I've heard people describe resting as driving. I don't mind driving, but I wouldn't consider it resting. And yet some people find that restful. We've got a few more coming. Gosha says camping, sitting by a fire. Yep, I like that too. Unless it's too cold or too hot and there are lots of mosquitoes, but there are no mosquitoes usually around the fire. Right, Gosha? I do enjoy sitting by the campfire with the guitar and the smell of the bonfire. It's fantastic. Do what you like to do the most, Donnie. I agree. I think, Carl, we resonate here. Need that deep sleep and REM sleep as well, not just lots of light sleep. Yep, we love sleeping. I love sleeping. Stillness in the mind, Christine says that. Margaret on Facebook says revitalize. Very, very good answers, guys. Very, very good answers. Couple more. Fiona says a break from the many tasks that you have to do. Yeah, definitely. It's just one of those things that always needs to get doing. We have different ideas of rest. The whole point about rest is that it's meant to, and somebody mentioned this word, rejuvenate or revitalize, Marg. It's meant to help us out physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And those are things that help us build resilience. Miriam says, me time. Exactly. So all of these things help us build up resilience because we are resetting our mind, our hearts, our emotions, and all of that in a really, really good way. I love what you've just said here, Gosha. Being without worry is restful. Amen, amen. There's a difference between being without worry and just sweeping things under the rug. There's a difference there, isn't it? We will actually cover a little bit of some of the things you've mentioned here today. We're going to do the rest of our sermon today in two parts, okay? Two parts. We're going to look at, I guess you can say, the two components of rest. The two components of rest, the first one being the physical component of rest, and the second part has to do with the spiritual and emotional. So the first being the physical, and the second being the spiritual and the emotional. And the aim is that both components should rejuvenate us. And then we will tie it all together with some practical stuff at the end. You know, today's sermon is actually very, very, very straightforward. Both parts of the sermon, it's not too theologically profound. I thought we'd start the year with something a little bit simpler and more practical, and then as we head towards the year, we do stuff like Daniel and Revelation. And, well, the science behind what we're going to talk about today is also quite easy. In fact, I gather some of you probably, maybe, already know what I'm going to say. We will see. Well, I still need your help just for one more segment. I'm really, really curious. I've actually never done this before. I think Jamie did this once ages ago. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try and do a live poll, okay? So you need your phones, something that can access the internet. And I have two questions, two very simple questions for you to, if you grab your phone, you need to go to menti.com, M-E-N-T-I.com, okay? You need to go to menti.com. And the first question is that I'm going to put up, give me a moment while I just bring it up on my screen. Okay, here we go. Go to menti.com and use the code 21591317. I'm going to give you a, a couple of minutes to turn to or switch or open up menti.com. And you will see on the, when you go into menti.com, you can put in a code, put in 21591317. So the question, the first question out of two is, how many hours a night do you sleep on average? Okay, we've got one person saying between 5 and 6 hours. That is not me. I wonder who that is. All the results are anonymous, by the way, and they are live in real time. Okay. Somebody's saying between, we've got two respondents. The other person saying between 7 and 8 hours. Between 7 and 8 hours. Okay, between 5 and 6 hours. Okay, we've got 9 people coming in. 56% say between 7 and 8 hours. That's winning. That's still winning between 5 and 6 hours. All right, how are we going with that? 15 people have responded. I'm going to give you a bit more time. I will say hi to those people who have just joined us. Thez, Dionisio, happy Sabbath to you. And Gosha, when I can consciously give all my worries to God means I can get rest. That is much easier on the Sabbath because we slow down and concentrate on God. Stop preaching my sermon, Gosha. We will come to that. All right. We have 4% saying less than 5 hours. 9 hours or more, 8%, but the clear majority out of the 26 people are saying that they sleep between 7 to 8 hours. All right, I'm going to give maybe another minute or so to see how you go with that. 7 to 8 hours, we have 31 people responding. There are about 80 or 90 people watching right now. So not everyone wants to Not everyone has a phone or something in front of them. That's perfectly fine. I have my phone in front of me because I want to take a quick photo of this right now. Okay, let me grab a quick photo. There we go. Taking a photo. Let me go to the next question. Here's the next question. How many hours a night do you need to be refreshed? Okay, you're like, oh no. Especially those of you who are like, I have only checked not enough. All right, let's have a look. Between 7 and 8 hours, I'm just having my previous screen. Donatella says about 6 and a little bit. Vincent Liu, happy Sabbath. Vincent is Uncle Vincent to me, and they are watching all the way from Malaysia. It's good to see you. Okay, how many hours a night do you need to feel refreshed? So 22% is saying 21, but 19% is saying 9 hours or more. Wow, some of you are refreshed between 5 and 6 hours. That's pretty cool. We had 30 something people respond in the first one, so I might just give you that. 34 people, so between 7 and 8 hours. All right, the results are still coming in. Okay, you know what? I love doing this. This is actually working out. The technology works. So I might just use that as an interaction tool between me and the congregation and between my One Turner Church family. Okay, all right. Now, it's interesting. 69% say that you need to between 7 and 8 hours to feel refreshed. Now, it's easy to do this, but if you can see on my screen right now, I'll put that close to the camera. I'll read it out to you actually. Between 7 and 8 hours, it's only 64%. Now, out of the 6% who says 9 hours or more, 19% actually needs 9 hours or more. And the 3% who sleeps less than 5 hours, you can do, I guess, better. Carl has put a question here. Need to define refreshed or well rested. Also, there is a variation with age as well. That is true, Carl. That is actually true. Just looking at these results, right? I actually don't know how many of you are just not doing what you are supposed to be doing. I mean, the hours kind of don't match up, and you need to sleep more, but the general perspective is we're not sleeping enough. I know there's only 30 or 40 people on that poll. But it's interesting because we say that we need to do something, we know we need it, but we just don't do it. And sometimes it's for valid reasons. Some have kids, some have work, and oftentimes it's for valid reasons. But for the times where you can actually make decisions, which comes back to our choices sermon last week, are you making those decisions? Rest is actually more than just sleep. Carl's point is correct. It means more than just refreshed and well rested. Creationlife.com describes rest this way. Rest is the restoration of your body, mind, and spirit. Your best rest includes a good night's sleep and making time to relax daily, weekly, and yearly. Now, we can talk a lot about the relaxed side of the statement. This is the first part of our sermon, which talks about the physical aspect of rest. But I want to talk about sleep for just a moment. Just a quick sidetrack, by the way. There is something very, very, very important you need to know. I refrain from making absolutes or absolute statements, but there are times when sleeping is not good for you at all under any circumstances. Like, there's no excuses for you to fall asleep. And you know what I'm talking about, right? So the first two specific times when you cannot sleep. Number one is when you are driving or flying a plane or operating some sort of heavy machinery. Under no circumstances are you allowed to sleep in any way, which means you should pull over, get some rest. So two times when you can't sleep under any circumstances. The first one is when you're driving, operating heavy machinery, and the second instance where you cannot sleep under any circumstances is when Pastor Yoshi is preaching. Some of you are like, wake up, wake up. I'm kidding, of course. Sometimes it's nice and warm, you're on your couch, you can't help it. Don't ever apologize if you fall asleep. I have fallen asleep in sermons before, not my own, at least not yet. But the point is, a good sleep is one of the best feelings ever. A good sleep is one of the best feelings ever. Studies show that for adults, 7 to 8 hours a night is best. In the classic Alameda County study, which included nearly 7,000 people, researchers found that this figure was associated with the greatest longevity. All right, so that's probably changes from different people and age groups, but overall speaking, 7 to 8 hours a night is best. Researchers discovered that subjects who reported short, that's it, that is 6 or less hours per night, or long sleep, that is 9 or more hours, shortened their lives by an average of 9 years when compared with people who slept 7 to 8 hours per night. Now, that's actually an interesting when you consider this, the importance of sleeping too little or too much. The link is below if you need a link to that study. It's quite interesting. Have a read. Some of you are like, you will challenge me to do this, practice what you preach. I'm getting better. I normally do get about 7 hours, and that's usually all I need. Now, moving on. Chat caught my eye, Simone says. Brian says, when you are listening to Yoshi's sermon. Brian, you're my new favorite person after Nadia and my family and lots of people. But I like you because of that. And yes, you can read the pastor's mind. That's a scary thought, Brian. I'm not sure if you want to actually do that. Let me move on very quickly and show you three quick slides with a number of facts about sleep. So, some facts about sleep. I am not a medical professional. I want to make that disclaimer. I noted these sources, the three articles below. I attended a medical lecture at Monash a long time ago now. I was not a medical student. I was just interested in what they had to say when they advertised an open lecture. So the articles are at the bottom. I probably could find more recent ones, but just let me summarize the ones from this article. So, effects of sleeping less than 4 hours a night for 6 consecutive nights. I hope none of you are doing that, whether it's work for a number of other reasons. I pray that you don't have to sleep less than 4 hours a night for 6 consecutive nights. Well, listen to this. The studies show that 40% lower blood sugar uptake into the tissues if you sleep less than 4 hours a night for 6 consecutive nights. There's 30% lower insulin release from the pancreas. Loss of sleep appears to raise stress hormone levels. I don't think I need to tell you that. And task, in this case, typing a sequence of keys on a keyboard, executed 20% faster and more accurate after a good night's sleep. So you have a good night's sleep, you do things 20% faster. Couple more stats, melatonin. Many of you have heard of melatonin. Here are some of melatonin's functions. It reduces sleep latency, which is the time it takes for you to fall asleep from being awake to being asleep. Melatonin reduces sleep latency, it increases sleep efficiency, it increases total sleep time, it helps with jet lag, it improves your mood, it reduces blood pressure, it helps with it's anti-aging, it's anti-cancer. And it's synthesized at night between the hours of 11 p.m. and 3 a.m., and it's the lowest at the onset of light. So you can kind of see where I'm going with this. Melatonin is good to help you sleep, so much so that you can even buy the artificial stuff, that in a pharmacy or whatever. But there's a natural way of boosting your melatonin. Here are a few ways. Exposure to bright light early in the day. I put that one first because that one strikes at me the most. And those of you who are not morning people, right? Sleep in a dark room. Since I've been married, funny story. So when we first got married, I had all these lights everywhere, the windows is open, and the first thing that Nadia did on that very first night, okay, she went to the she went to the closet and just basically covered every single of my gadgets and lights with towels until it was dark. And I've never gone back since. Oh my goodness, sleeping in a dark room is one of the best things ever. Sleep before midnight, yes, once again, guilty. Try my best. And your diet that is rich in, have diet that is rich in tryptophan, so almonds, sesame seeds, tofu. Avoid caffeine, tobacco, alcohol, and exercise. So before you think Yoshi is pointing the finger at me, I, yeah, I'm just pointing 10 fingers back at myself. I could go on and on about sleep and physical rest, but it's somewhat common sense. Then again, the last 2 years have taught, if the last 2 years have taught me anything, it's that common sense isn't so common. So I figured, with the two parts of the sermon that I need to do, I need to start off and talk about the importance of physical rest. But just to be clear, physical rest doesn't refer to just sitting around and doing nothing all the time. Yes, you are resting your muscles, but Jamie's sermon, for example, Jamie's children's story, rather, talked about how the lemurs, their muscles don't atrophy, but if we do, it does. And resting, physical rest, isn't just sitting around engaged in mind-numbing activities. You and I know if that was the case, if that was actual rest, I mean, we were in lockdown for various parts of 2020 and 2021. And we know that sitting around doing nothing is not healthy. In fact, sitting around doing nothing can be quite tiring. Sitting around doing nothing productive isn't really rest. It may be physical rest. But there's a second component that rounds out our message for today. Sitting around doing nothing may be resting your physical body, but it doesn't rest your brain, your emotions, your heart. In a blog on creationlife.com, the author writes this. Harvard physiologist Dr. Walter Cannon performed a classic experiment studying a cat's vital functions when confronted by a dog. He found the following changes in the cat took place. Circulation increased, more energy-rich sugar appeared in his blood clotting mechanisms accelerated. Muscle functions increased, breathing quickened, senses became keener, and unneeded digestive system functions shut down. These adaptive changes enhanced the cat's likelihood of survival. All of the cat's reactions were involuntary. The cat didn't make a conscious choice to speed up its circulation. It's just the way the cat was designed to react to the presence of a potential threat. All of the changes actually helped the cat achieve two possible reactions: fight back or run. This fight or flight response is present in all animals, even humans. Now, what if the cat used these responses 10 hours a day for 10 years? And what if the cat never used the response for actually fighting or running? What would happen to the cat? Perhaps that is where the phrase nervous as a cat comes from, or scaredy cat. Whenever we encounter emergencies, our bodies respond much like the cat in Dr. Cannon's experiment. We don't arch our backs, expose our claws, and hiss. I guess it depends on who it is, but all of the other involuntary responses happen inside us with every emergency we perceive. Imagine going through life racing and battling as if a monster dog were attacking all the time. Can you imagine the toll it takes? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's this constant battle within us that physical rest just isn't enough. And for some of us, what we've done in the past, perhaps, and even right now, is to distract ourselves long enough with other things so we don't have to confront any of these things. We sweep it under the rug. And the truth is sometimes that we are always very, very high strung because we haven't learned to deal with that. It's just like the cat just on, you know, on edge the whole time. And instead of building resilience, all we're doing is building up anxiety and nerves, so much so that even the slightest thing can cause us unrest within our mind, our heart, our very spirit. The second part of our sermon is actually very simple. The biblical principles contained herein are very straightforward. But let me be clear. Just because it's simple, it doesn't mean it's easy. Let me explain. Simple, but not necessarily easy. Let me explain. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your cares on him, upon him, for he cares for you. Jesus extends this wonderful invitation of love to you and I. He says, whatever is on your mind, give it to him. He says, he's in his very own words in Matthew 11 and verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus is saying, go to him with your burdens, and he will give you rest. Here's the thing, though. It's simple, but not easy. You know, as I was preparing this sermon, a big chunk of it was going to be about the Sabbath. The importance of Sabbath rest and focusing on Jesus, focusing on God, is so vital that he put it even in the Ten Commandments. And I've seen it in the chat. You know, there's a few things here, a few things that people have mentioned about the importance effectively of just putting everything aside and coming to God. That's why God put the Sabbath in the Ten Commandments. But here's what I mean by it's simple, but not easy. What do I mean by that? Well, for a start, many of us actually like our burdens. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's like our anger, our frustration. It almost gives us a purpose. Not a very good one, but it gives us a purpose. We have to fight for this. It's like we can find identity in our sorrows almost. That's why when someone has made up their mind about something, it's often very, very difficult to change it, no matter what facts are given to them, because that is what defines them. Instead of giving it to God, well, that's simple. That's the Bible says that. It's everywhere. But it's not easy because we hold on to things, and that is what causes us to have unrest. And the worst thing is we don't even know we're holding on to some of these things. Listen to this quote by renowned author C.S. Lewis. This is what he says. You understand sleep when you are awake, not while you are sleeping. You can see mistakes in arithmetic when your mind is working properly. While you are making them, though, when you are making these mistakes, you cannot see them. Good people know about both bad and evil. Good people know about both bad and evil. Bad people do not know about either. Listen to what C.S. Lewis is saying. It's a powerful supposition. Lewis basically is telling us, and very true, we don't know when we're wrong. We don't know why we're wrong. It's only after when we realize that we're wrong. That's when we figure it out. Which is so important on the need for us to be willing to be open and to submit. In a world where people are more concerned about being right, as Christians, we need to strive more on being righteous instead of being right. You don't need to win every or engage in every argument. And whatever argument or mindset that you have, you need to submit those to Jesus. You need to find rest in Him, and whatever is causing you anxiety and stress, oftentimes without you even realizing it, go to God and say to Him, God, I'm just giving this to you, okay? It's frustrating me to know, and why can't people see what I'm saying? Give it to God. Oh, this year has been a real, last 2 years has been a real challenge for me as a, not just as a pastor, but as a person. If you don't know this about me, I'm saying this live on the internet. I like to argue, and I think I'm pretty good at it. And sometimes, many of you have seen me probably argue unnecessarily. I should take the advice of the psalmist. And you do realize with me preaching this with no way of editing, because if you are watching live, you're going to have to hold me to this, aren't you? Stop being so argumentative, Yoshi. The psalmist's experience is what we need to cling to. In Psalms 37, verses 7 to 9, he says this, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." They shall inherit the earth. The psalmist's experience is that it doesn't matter what the other person, especially the wicked ones, however you define them, doesn't matter what they're doing, find rest in the Lord. Simple, hopefully easier. We should be spending more time finding rest in Jesus rather than arguing with people about who's right and who's wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't say your piece and just be a doormat. Certainly not. Jesus had a discourse with the Pharisees. But for us, as far as you and I are concerned, as we heard last week, maybe you just need to disconnect, leave that Facebook group, stop reading that forum, and spend more time, if you truly want to build resilience and find rest, on Jesus. Our last verse for today. Also a simple and powerful verse. Many of you are familiar with it. The Bible says this, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still and know that I am God. You know, as I was preaching for this sermon, I was like, there's a good chance, you know, many of you listening already know these two steps, you know, the importance of physical rest, especially sleep. And secondly, the importance of finding rest in Jesus by submitting to Him. That's really the simplicity of the sermon. Well, we're just about done. But I want you to remember this. Just because it's simple, we shouldn't take for granted that it will be easy. We need to make active choices to make the simple easy. Sleep and go to Jesus. If anybody asks you, what did Yoshi preach about today? He said, sleep and go to Jesus. That's it. Those two things will help you build resilience in incredible ways, better than you think. to finish out our sermon for today, I'm going to show you a short two-minute video clip. It summarizes the two segments of the sermon and gives you a handful of practical steps. This two-minute video clip is by Creation Life, who came up with the original Creation acronym. And obviously, as I mentioned at the start of the sermon, Dan and Wendy and I, we're just going to take that and expound on that a little bit more. He gives a handful of practical advice on this. I'll play that video and then I'll come back and we will close with prayer.
When was the last time you had a good deep night's sleep? You know, that time when you awoke refreshed and ready to attack the day. Or how about that time you returned from a vacation and felt totally re-energized by being outdoors or spending time with friends? Rest is vital to our well-being. In fact, it's so important that God gave us the Sabbath day, one whole day per week for rest, spiritual rejuvenation, worship, and social connection. We all need rest, daily, weekly, yearly. In fact, studies show that for adults, the ideal daily sleep is 7 to 8 hours. Now, I know some of you may be thinking, I can get by on less. And that is absolutely true. You can get by on less than that, but you won't be at your optimum, because getting less than the recommended amount of sleep can result in daytime drowsiness and a lack of energy, and it can oftentimes lead to depression and weight gain. Inadequate sleep impairs your ability to think quickly and avoid mistakes. Do you want to get better rest? Well, let me share some basics to keep in mind. First of all, keep a sleep schedule. Try to go to sleep and wake up at the same time every day, even on your days off, because your body will adjust to that routine and you will feel the benefits as a result. And don't worry about keeping your sleep schedule down to the minute. As long as you're within a half hour of your scheduled sleep and waking times, you're good. Secondly, give your cares to God. It's hard to sleep when your mind is racing and stressing over the worries of the day. Turn them over to God and ask for the peace that only He can give. God says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest." And finally, and this is a tough one, turn off the media about an hour before you go to bed. Television, tablets, any electronic screen, just turn it off. That blue light, they admit, inhibits the natural production of melatonin. That's a hormone that helps you feel sleepy. Live healthy, live whole. That's Creation Life.
Well, there you go. A couple of practical things. Yes, Nadia was sitting there. She's gone away. She's moved away now. She's probably like, yes, turn off your media an hour before you go to sleep. Church, as I was looking just at a few more comments, I recognize that the complexity of things like PTSD, I think Fiona mentioned it. I don't want to dismiss any of that. I don't want to dismiss any of that. If you're watching this sermon, those two simple things, getting a bit more sleep, getting proper sleep, and going to Jesus, that isn't going to cure a lot of your deeper issues. But for a majority of us, that's a good start. That's a good start in helping us find rest. And my prayer is that a lot of those things, the trauma and all of those things that have been caused, God will slowly but surely remove them with the help of professionals and anybody else that you need to see. But ultimately, let's find rest in Jesus. I invite you to bow your heads with me as we close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for giving us the Sabbath. And Lord, it's so important you've put it aside in the Ten Commandments itself so that we can find rest in you. Not just sitting around doing nothing, but to come to you. Lord, it's simple at the end of the day, but it isn't always easy because it requires us to give up on self. It requires us to come to you, and it requires us to basically be open and be vulnerable and be willing to admit that we're wrong and be willing to put our pride and our ego aside. But Lord, it also requires us to take some steps which we know we should do but yet aren't doing. So help us to do all of these things, knowing and trusting that we can find rest in you. So we thank you for all that you've done for us, knowing and trusting that your hand will be upon us. Thank you as we keep our eyes focused on you. Dismiss us with your blessings with this song to remind us to keep our eyes, to turn our eyes upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless everyone.